Hey, y'all, and welcome back to the Magic Story Podcast. I'm your host, Harless.
And I'm your other host, Natalie.
In case you're not familiar, the Magic Story Podcast recaps the fiction story behind the card game Magic the Gathering, adding in just a touch of our own flavor text as we go. We are in Season 8, following the story of Outlaws of Thunder Junction.
Today's episode is the main story episode 5, titled High Moon, and it's written by Akemi Don Bowman.
Don your hat and giddy up as we head into the multiverse.
All right, so what happened last time? Lots happened last time, but in a quick recap, Oko's crew, which includes Kellen, Vraska, Malcolm, Breaches, Rakdos, you name it, they snuck into Tarnation. And there was a small group of Oko's crew, which made up of Oko, Annie, Kellen, and Vraska, who actually dressed up as Hellspurs and snuck into Tarnation. And Tarnation is the Hellspur fortress city around the vault. And to no surprise to any of us, I think, Kellen does not pass for a Hellspur very well. I mean, he's too polite and says, "Oh, I'm so sorry," to someone who tells him to get out of the way and kind of outs them right away. And so a fight breaks out in the saloon, and essentially Oko, Vraska, Kellen, and Annie are kidnapped and imprisoned by the Hellspurs, who know that they aren't truly Hellspurs, and they take them down to the dungeons. And during this, Kellen is so guilty for outing his father and the crew, like he failed them, he kind of blurts out to Akul, "I challenge you to a duel." And Akul, proud dragon that he is, cannot afford to look weak or look like a coward. And so, of course, he agrees to the duel with Kellen. And that's where we left off last episode, is Kellen had just challenged Akul to a duel, and it was going to happen at midnight.
I'm going to start us off today by reading the opening lines of episode 5. 12 chimes erupted from the molten clock tower. Its sharp edges glowed a sinister red, and its shadow stretched across the enormous courtyard below. Fence posts made of bone and black iron were wedged into the ground, circling the perimeter to create an enclosure. Tarnation's dueling grounds. And in this dueling ground, Kellen has been marched into the arena by a couple of Hellspurs, and he is about to participate in the duel that he initiated at the end of last episode. So the guards also bring in the rest of the crew that got captured, and as a reminder, that's Oko, Vraska, and Annie. Oko is busy messing with his bone armor, which has kind of come akimbo while he's been sitting in the cell. But Annie catches Kellen's eye and immediately yells out that he should fly away as soon as he gets the chance.
Now, before Kellen can respond to this, he is pushed deeper into the arena and Akul enters from the opposite side. And Kellen tries once more to get Oko's attention, but Oko is just too preoccupied picking lint off of his shirt to even notice. And Kellen can't help but think, this might be the last time we ever see each other, and he won't even look at me. Poor Kellen.
I know, that sounds really rough. So one of the Hellspurs shoots a thunder pistol into the sky, and Akul immediately charges at Kellen. But Kellen is able to fly out of the way, and at this point he realizes that he's going to have to tire Akul out if he has any chance of winning this fight against this absolutely massive monster.
And he's decided that flying away, like Annie suggested, it just isn't an option. Even if he could make it out of Tarnation without being shot down, he would be leaving the whole crew behind. And that's just not something that Kellen is willing to do. Remember, Kellen is a good person. He won't leave people behind. And so he thinks to himself, the only way out of this alive is by winning. He has to defeat Akul.
Kellen uses his magic to create a lasso, which I thought was clever. But Akul slashes the magic apart with his tail before the lasso has a chance to get around him. So Kellen then manifests a spear, which he throws at Akul, but it just bounces off of his scales. It's kind of impenetrable.
So things aren't looking good. I'm going to read this next part directly from the story. Akul sneered, baring two rows of sharpened fangs. He stretched his jaws to reveal a crackling orb of thunder building inside of him. Kellen gawped with horror. Thunder was pure chaos, magic that destroyed anything it touched, and Akul had swallowed it. Kellen looked from side to side, searching for somewhere safe to take cover. Lava flowed around him, seeping through the devastated breaks in the ground where Akul's tail had caused the most damage. Pockets of steam burst from the earth, making the sweat pool above Kellen's brow. There was nowhere to run.
Kellen is frantic at this point, and his thoughts move to Oko and how Kellen has traversed the multiverse to find Oko. And Kellen decides in that moment this isn't how it's going to end for him. And at this point, with all this wild thought, Kellen conjures up a new trick. He actually uses his magic to lull Akul into a kind of stupor, much like what Ariette does. Remember, Ariette can also kind of put people into this sleep, this like sense of like serenity where they just do all her bidding. And now it seems like Kellen can do something similar, which is really interesting.
And let's not forget that Ariette putting people to sleep kind of was a big deal a few sets ago when she was unleashing the wicked slumber on all of Eldraine. So, you know, Ariette's pretty powerful. And this magic, we don't know if it's actually as powerful or not, but it sounds very similar, Harless. You're right. And Akul actually loses focus right here. Like, it's powerful enough where the dragon just is kind of out of it now. And Kellen uses the opportunity to whip a vine around his neck and pull as hard as he can. Even while being choked out, Akul doesn't respond. He's lost in the reverie of Kellen's magic. So it sounds like this magic might actually be pretty powerful. But Kellen, unlike Ariette, isn't a killer. And for a moment, his resolve wanes. And as soon as he does, so too does his magic.
Akul snaps out of the stupor and begins clawing at the magic vines around his throat, which causes Kellen to fall to the ground, where he is ultimately pinned by Akul. Enough, Akul shouts as he raises his talons in the air, poised to come down onto Kellen and end the fight.
But at that moment, a blast of thunder hits Akul in the neck and he rears back in alarm. This allows Kellen to fly away. And once he's hidden, he scans the ridge for the source of the thunder blast. And I'm going to read this from the story. Cresting over the hill was row upon row of mercenaries. Their silver armor reflected the thunder crackling along their weapons. And in the center was Ral Zarek, his eyes flashing as lightning built in his palms. The Sterling Company had found Tarnation, and they had brought an army.
And then all hell breaks loose. Akul attacks the Sterling Company, who attack the Hellspurs, and just chaos absolutely erupts. Kellen searches for Oko and finds him standing calm as can be, while the bone armor he is wearing falls to the ground and reassembles itself into none other than Tiny Bones, who produces a key and frees the rest of the crew from their restraints. Which, what? Like, entire time that Oko had been captured, he'd been wearing this bone armor, and turns out it's Tiny Bones all along. I was not expecting that, and I thought it was really cute and kind of hilarious.
Yeah, it kept, like, he was so preoccupied on his armor. I'm like, what are you doing, Oko? Like, why was he so fixated on his armor? Well, we have the answer. It was Tiny Bones the whole time. So I can only imagine that Tiny Bones, like, I imagine Tiny Bones having, like, these little twitches. Like, he, like, can't stay completely still. So I wonder if it was bothering Oko because he can't sit still. That's kind of how I imagined it. But anyway, back to the story. Sorry. Tiny Bones as bone armor is just, it was amazing. I love the flavor. So Vraska and the others fight off the incoming attacks, but Oko just turns to Kellen and winks. He says, "You did good, kid. Now throw me the medallion." But Kellen is in a bit of, like, state of shock. I don't blame him. If Tiny Bones was there the whole time, then it's highly likely that Oko had planned this whole time to get captured, had planned all of this. Oko asks again for the key, and Kellen realizes it had fallen off of Akul's neck during the duel. With no time to think, Kellen tosses the key to his father.
Oko turns to Annie and asks her to guide them through town, and Kellen flies up to join them and take off. But as he does, a blast hits these rocks next to him and sends him careening back to the ground, where a Sterling guard smashes him on the head and knocks him out. And the last thing Kellen sees is Oko walking away. leaving Kellen to his fate.
Again, like Oko is turning his back on his son. Again, I just,
yep.
I mean, I wasn't expecting any different, but it still hurts, right? Like Kellen would do anything for his father, like jumping into the fray to save his dad and just the fact that Oko can't even reciprocate that small thing. Like it just, I don't know why I still expect something different from Oko. It's Oko, but it still hurt. It's still hurt to see him walking away from Kellen, who is clearly in a bad situation. And so from here, we flash forward a bit and the crew has made it to a saloon in Tarnation where they're kind of regrouping before heading to the vault. And remember, the vault is kind of floating above the city. So they have like a little bit of a trek to get to it. As Oko hands out knives to the crew, Annie insists that they must go back for Kellen. But the fact of the matter is that this is their best moment to get to the vault. Both the Sterling Company and the Hellspurs are distracted with their fight. And besides, fighting their way back to Kellen will be futile. There are just too many enemies standing between them.
Annie confronts Oko, though. She asks, "Why do I get the feeling you knew there was going to be an ambush?" And Oko responds with, "Of course I knew. I wasn't about to have us face a dragon without an exit strategy. I made sure Bertram Greywater received the coordinates for Tarnation and left us enough time to get close to Akul before the Sterling Company arrived. The distraction gave us the perfect opportunity to steal the medallion." So he did know. He did do it on purpose.
Yep. It was all on purpose. And it turns out that no one else in the crew knew this plan either. And Vraska is more annoyed with Oko herself. But what's worse, Oko says that he brought Kellen along because he knew Kellen would get them caught. He didn't know that he'd go so far as to challenge Akul to a duel, but he did think that Kellen would stick out like a sore thumb in Tarnation and would be the reason for their imprisonment, and he was right.
And Annie is enraged. She calls Oko brash and reckless and tells him that he could at least have the decency to look sorry about abandoning his son. And Oko actually flinches at that before moving on to the next order of business. So he has a little bit of an emotional response of being like, oh, maybe I do suck. But Annie isn't done. She insists that they go back for Kellen and says that had the roles been reversed, Kellen never would have left Oko. But Oko point blank tells her that if she goes after Kellen, Akul will win. He insists that the moment they're done with their mission, they will go back for Kellen. But until then, they have a mission to complete, they have a focus, and they need to get to it.
And we've heard that excuse before, right? It's the same deal with the train, where it's like, well, let's get the mission done first, and then we'll save all of the innocents. We've heard that excuse before, Oko, and you're full of it. You know, like, I'm calling you out. It's like, I don't think you're going to follow through with that. But the thing is that Oko does have a point. They do have a mission, and if they don't do it now, you know, like, then all of this will be for nothing. So Annie knows that Oko is right. And this part is from the story. If they didn't get to the vault now, the Hellspurs would win. They'd find a way to escape the Sterling Company, and then they'd come for the medallion and the power inside the vault. For her town and for Thunder Junction, Annie had no choice. There was no time for a rescue mission tonight. Wherever Kellen was, she hoped he'd understand.
And at that point, we actually do switch back to Kellen. And Kellen is waking up inside of a carriage. His wrists are clamped with iron cuffs, and he's in a prisoner carriage. And his first thoughts turn to the fact that Oko left him. Just as he's stewing in his thoughts, the sky cracks to life with thunder, and someone knocks out the Sterling guards that are, like, guarding his prison carriage, and they unlock it. And this is Ra's Erech.
Ra watched him carefully. "I think you and I are on the same side, and I'm going to give you a chance to prove me right. Besides, Kaya will never forgive me if I let anything happen to you." He leaned forward and unlocked the cuffs from Kellen's wrists, letting them clatter to the wooden floor. "Wait, you're letting me go? I need a favor." Kellen's mouth tightened. He knew what Rao wanted. It's what everyone wanted. "Let me guess. You're after the vault, too?"
Man, everyone wants in on whatever is inside this vault. And remember, we still don't know. But Kellen clumsily apologizes for what happened when Oko first appeared and Kellen ended up fighting alongside his father. But Rahl dismisses that apology with ease, saying that families are complicated. He says that families either make or break you, but that Kellen still has an opportunity to be better than the hand they tried to deal him. And I loved that line. I thought that was really great and really smart.
I did too. I did too.
Life isn't the cards you're handed. It's how you play them.
Yeah. And Raul goes on to say that someone like Oko has no business gaining access to whatever it is in the vault, that no one does. And Kellen is shocked at this. Here, in the middle of Thunder Junction, is someone not vying for their own bit of power, but looking out for the safety of everyone.
And Raul looks at Kellen and says, I know you don't want to fight your father. Maybe you don't even want to face him again. But I've seen what power wielded in the wrong hands can do. And with the Omen Paths, it's just too great a risk. Because at this point, after everything he's been through, he truly does not know who to trust. He's learned that people are keen on lying and twisting the truth. But with Raul's plan, which is to take what's in the vault, planeswalk it away somewhere else, and seal it there, they'd be taking the chance of corruption away from everyone.
And so this is how today's episode ends. If Kellen joined forces with Raul, he'd be going against Oko. He'd be going against the entire crew. But Kellen didn't owe them anything. Not anymore. Kellen clasped his hand over Raul's. I'm with you, he said, unflinching.
Ah, okay. So I love the ending here because Kellen really, like, he's learning a lesson from being here on Thunder Junction. He is learning that not everybody is trustworthy. Not everybody's like him. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, like, really hard to learn that lesson when you yourself are, like, so open-minded and helpful and you just want the best for everybody, because it's hard to realize that, like, other people don't feel that way until you've had it slap you in the face a couple times. And boy, oh boy, has Kellen had it slap him in the face a couple times at this point. So,
oh yeah,
he's clearly growing yet again. But like, he's staying true to his morals all the while. And I really appreciate that. That makes me happy. Like, I really, Kellen is such a good hearted character. And
absolutely,
it would be really heartbreaking to see that change.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kellen has a clear moral compass, and I don't think that is ever going to change. No matter how much bad happens to him and how much Oko is insisting, it's like Oko is almost saying that it's a weakness of his, but Kellen is kind of proving the opposite, to be honest, is that looking out for people and, you know, like giving people the benefit of the doubt and not leaving them to their own devices and actually having a sense of teamwork is a major asset to have. And I think, or I hope, maybe this is me being hopeful now, I hope that bites Oko. Like, I hope that comes back to bite him over the fact that he's been, you know, he's been looking at his son with this mindset over, you know, why are you going above and beyond to help all these innocents? You know, it's like, you don't have time for that. Why are you, like, almost like kind of looking down on him for it? When I hope Oko ends up alone. Like, I like, how, if you have that mindset where I'm going to leave people behind, you know, I can't see how that would end up good for anybody in the crew who's working for him, you know, and that sort of attitude is going to bite Oko. Like, it's going to come back to haunt him.
Yeah. When you buy all of your friends, turns out they're not that loyal, versus
yes.
Kellen, who earns all of his friends with mutual respect and kindness and, you know, just generally being like a fun person to be around and a good person. You know, he's made a lot of friends at this point. Like, Raul even says at the end, like, Kaya's going to kill me if I let anything happen to you. Like, look
yes.
at all the bridges that Kellen has built. And it seems like Oko burns every bridge he crosses.
Yes, absolutely. That's the difference, right, between Oko and Kellen. Now they are literally on opposite sides, you know, and having to fight one another, you know, like Kellen is going to have to contest with this. My head is also reeling over, it was just a quick scene, but Kellen was able to put a cool big bad dragon of the Hellspurs into this type of stupor. Like, he was actually able to kind of mind control him, sort of. Like,
yeah.
Whoa. Like, that
yeah,
was crazy.
Nuts.
That was a crazy moment where we had no idea that Kellen had this power. right? Like, we had no idea.
Kellen had no idea. Kellen had this power.
Like, I am also reeling on this, like, over the fact that we've seen it in this season where Kellen is more powerful than he thinks. As soon as he puts his mind to something and his true will comes out, like, just with the train, you know, he was able to stop the train out of pure will. He didn't know he was going to be able to, but he wanted to, and that was enough. And his power responded to that. And we saw it again with Akul in this episode. I'm like, I'm kind of thinking, watch out, Oko, you know, because now Kellen's coming for you. And I don't, like you said, Harless, I don't think Kellen will ever have it in his heart to hurt anybody, or, you know, that's just not Kellen. He's not going to harm his father. But I don't, like, we haven't seen Oko in his true power yet. You know, like, Oko's been kind of letting everybody else do the hard work.
Which sounds like Oko.
Which sounds like Oko. Like, but when this goes truly head to head, right? When this is father son against one another, I think Kellen is more powerful than even Oko thinks he is. So I'm very curious to see how this will happen.
The last thing I'll say is that Kellen has, part of the reason Kellen's been looking for Oko is because he wants to understand his fey heritage and his fey magic. But what's happening is that Kellen is coming into his magic on his own without Oko's help.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know what, though? I bet Oko would take full response, like full accolades.
Oh, he'd take credit.
Like, I put you in this situation. Like, obviously, helped you find your... Yeah, absolutely. But that's not true, right? Kellen is really coming into this on his own. He's figuring out how to use it. He's figuring out, like you said, he's even more powerful than he realizes, than anybody realizes at this point. And I have so enjoyed getting to know Kellen. We have one more episode after this for the main story. And don't worry, we are going to be doing the side stories for this set as well. So those are coming to you right around the corner.
And a lot happened today, but unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for today. We will continue our adventures, as Harless said, in the next episode, and it is coming to you right around the tracks.
As always, you can read this episode, as well as many more, at mtgstory.com. You can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms, as well as the audiobook versions of the full stories we release the day before our recaps drop.
Your reviews mean the world to us. So if you liked today's episode, do us a huge, tremendous favor and review us on your favorite podcast platform. We are always striving to release new content y'all want, and we do hear your feedback. Your support means everything, and a huge thank you for listening. It doesn't matter if today was your first episode or if you've been with us since the beginning. We appreciate all of you joining us for the ride.
We will see y'all next time, partners. But until then,
have a magical day.